This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Here's McLeod. Quick pass. Quick shot. Scores! Left into McLeod of dust. 88 miles an hour on that one. Right in front. Scores! Jason Zucker! Byram keeps it. Up high. 15 seconds. It's good!
Off a home win in a shootout against Vegas. The road trip begins tonight. A four-gamer for the Sabres. They will take on the Bruins featuring Henry Jokiharju and Casey Mittelstadt. And the only question is, which team is more Irish on St. Paddy's Day? Because you need the luck on your side on this particular day.
Well, don't you, Marty? I'll tell you this, Duffer. When we went to Bella's event on Saturday night, the belted out contest, which is like right at the, you know, it's the pew, but it's right there
just
in the edge.
Just say South Buffalo.
South Buffalo. If you went past the show at Shea Seneca, you were in the middle of Irish South Buffalo celebration. And I'm going to say that alone will make South Buffalo, probably more Irish, just because it was, man, was it beautiful outside Saturday? People out in the street and enjoying the St. Paddy's celebration. That's why we're wearing green today, Duffer, because, well, you got the orange and green, which I love the Bandits look to it. Uh-huh. But yeah, I think I'm going to give Buffalo the edge on this one tonight.
Good.
Despite all the injuries and new players coming in, and why not? Let's take it to Boston.
If it's the third meeting of the season series, and just as fair warning to the audience, we won't be wearing green in our studio tonight.
Nope.
It's a very good reason for that, but we're indulging right now. The temperature here stinks. I get it. It's still the middle of March, but today was awful. Like dusting of snow.
Give it 48 hours, Duffer.
Oh, I know.
You'll be wearing shorts and a t-shirt in 48 hours.
Yesterday, the high was 72. And the real feel in the middle of the afternoon was 32. I'm like, what is going on? So anyway, all that aside, it's the third meeting of the year. Home team has won both.
so far. So Buffalo tries to interrupt that tonight. Before we get to best and worst of the weekend, much later in the show, I'm going to divulge my best right now.
Ooh.
Tampa 21, Boston 0. That was the shots on goal in the second period of the lightning rout of the Bruins 6-2.
Yeah.
Wow. I wish I had been there.
Yeah, look, when the Boston Bruins traded Brad Marchand and Charlie Coyle and, you know, Brent Carlo, and they made some moves, they had a couple of really good responses right after. They beat Florida 2-0. They beat Tampa. And then they had a bad one against the Ottawa Senators, and Jeremy Swayman wasn't good in that game. And then the team didn't show up against Tampa, and Swayman still gave up 4, but it was on 38 shots. Mm-hmm. I think this Bruins team of the last two games is probably more what you should expect than what they did against Florida and Tampa. And that's why I'm looking at it and I'm saying, okay, I mean, yes, there won't be any Paterka in the game tonight. He was back on the ice today, but he's not ready to get back in game action. There won't be Josh Norris. He's not on the ice yet. There won't be Jiří Kulík. He's not on the ice after taking that big hit on Saturday. Howden's clean hit. Look, I know people are going to say it hit the head. Yes, it hit the head, but the head can be hit if it's a full body-on-body hit. And you know, it wasn't avoidable. Jiří lowered himself trying to get through. Howden timed it perfectly. If you want to have a debate as to, Ken Dryden always says, all hit to the head should be outlawed. Well, okay, we can have that debate. But right now, we still want physicality in the game. And the rule book is set in the way. Mm-hmm. And this was not a penalty. And the Sabres responded. But anyway, no Paterka, no Norris, no Kulík. Which means, well, Brett Murray's been called up. Isaac Roseanne's been called up. I don't think he's going to play tonight. So new bodies in the lineup with Murray for sure.
And it's concerning, but there's, you know, with Norris, obviously, not on the ice today. And not playing, of course, on Saturday versus Vegas. The hope is he'll be back on the ice later in the week. And then, you know, perhaps at some point you get him into the lineup on this trip. I don't know for sure. Obviously, it's Utah Thursday and then back-to-back afternoon games on Saturday and Sunday.
Let me ask you this question, Duffer.
Yeah.
Now that the Sabres have said it's a mid-body injury for Josh Norris, should the NHL basically put parameters onto, okay, if it's an ankle, a leg, a knee, that's lower body. If it's a hip, a core, a back, that's mid body. If it's shoulders, hands, elbow, head, that's an upper body. Like, I think there should be, I think we're trending towards that, right? Like, football does it so well. It's hamstring, it's shoulder, it's back. Like, they detailed it. Mm-hmm. I think the league's going towards that, but now we know Josh Norris is a mid body, which, you know, with the shoulder issues that he's had over the career, it releases my worries a little bit, knowing that it's not a shoulder injury, that all of a sudden he just got to the Sabres and we're dealing with shoulders again. But I think lower, mid, upper, it could be a nice transition into being more upfront with the injuries, no?
I've wanted more clarity on this forever, so there's nothing there's nothing new to report from my side. And I think, I don't know, for at least 2, if not 3 seasons, many people have been saying that since betting sites have become the norm, that this needs to be a more clarified, detailed event from all teams. But
starting goalie injuries.
The Sabres just played the least informative team in the league, the league that holds back every single detail in Vegas. You can't even find stuff in their notes because they don't put it in there. So, yeah, it is. It is what it is. It's just for me, and it's a very fair and relevant question, Marty. I'm just disappointed for Norris. Like, I think I don't know if you've been getting this since he was acquired by Buffalo, but just get a lot of people reaching out saying, "Hey, like, you know, really, really, really talented player, incredible person. And that's nice when it's unsolicited, right? Mm-hmm. You just, and we got a firsthand introduction to him last week on Sabres Live. Great. Again, same type of thing, like willing conversationalist. And that says something, I think, given all he's gone through health-wise. So I'm just bummed that he's not in the
mix.
And I
can't wait till the fans get to see him in the community and get to meet him, get to know him, right? Like, we're going to have probably another one of those fan fest next year in training camp. And, you know, we've done it many times. And you get to ask him questions, get him to sign autographs, talk to him. I think people are going to really appreciate Josh Norris, but you're right. Like, he comes in, you know, he performed well.
Yeah,
It's not like he didn't perform, but we didn't get to see enough of him getting going. And I thought him and Thompson, apart from the first game where they had Thompson on the left and Tuck on the right, mm-hmm. but Norris with Paterka and Thompson looked good, right? And then, so I'm like, the game against the Oilers, he showed some hustle. I'm disappointed because we're not seeing it right now, but as long as I'm okay not worrying about his shoulder right now, I think I'm doing good with it.
I think the other part of it is, since you started this line of conversation a little while ago, what is it going to look like on opening night next year? The center position now is just crazy affected by all of this, right? Yep. Norris isn't there. Kulik's not there. Thompson's back off the wing and in the middle, right? So it's just, it's kind of hard to know. And it's fine. I mean, these can be positive things in the long run too, as far as learning more about players. And obviously you would have wanted these games to have a little bit more impact, to say the least, in importance. But what is the biggest takeaway for you from the Vegas game that applies to the start and hopefully the continuation of this road trip?
The response. It was the response in many different ways. You're down to nothing. The response with McLeod getting a goal right away. Cooley gets hit. The response, right? Greenway and Kolasar. There was a response there. Look, you talked about who is going to be more Irish tonight in Boston. I feel like we got the luck of the Irish on Saturday because we were celebrating St. Paddy's Day and everybody was. But you're down 3-2, you pull your goalie, and Tomas Hertl decide to want to look for Jack Eichel instead of putting it in the empty net. It could have easily been a 4-2 game, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know, you didn't beat Vegas. Instead, you turn around, Dahlin scores, and you win the shootout. But in all of that, right, give credit where credit is due. Peyton Krebs back check on Hertl allowed Hertl to make a bad play. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if Peyton Krebs is like, that's it. Like, he just lets him go. Mm-hmm. Hertl probably finds Jack, and Jack scores. And then all of a sudden you have Eichel with two goals and Sabres lose. But there was an effort and there was a response. And that was, for me, the takeaway. Man, it was so funny listening to Bruce Cassidy yesterday, Duffer. They lose 3-0 to Detroit. He was still so sour about the game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. He was, after the game, he was like, we gave one away. We gave one away yesterday, and today was a scheduled loss. He used that word. You remember when you look at the scheduled? He goes, today was a scheduled loss. Back-to-back against a team that's fighting for their playoffs life right now, that's a scheduled loss, and we lost it. But we needed to win yesterday. We needed to put yesterday in the bank, and we didn't do it. It was hilarious when he was still sour about the game on Saturday.
Yeah, lack of respect is what he deemed it. After Saturday's game.
With Hertl, basically saying,
well, no,
you think it's...
But he was talking in two areas. Specifically Hertl, yes. But let's not forget, like, Buffalo basically doubled Vegas in shots in the game. So there were concerns for Cassidy throughout the entirety of this thing. And most importantly, you just referenced it, the response from Buffalo after going down 2-0. He hated what happened in that situation, and that's understandable. But
he also didn't like the Dorofeev penalty in the third period, right? It was a trip against Clifton. He put his stick there, and he didn't like that. Why? Well, that allowed Jason Zucker to score on the power play, so, you know, and make it 2-2. So that he didn't like Dorofeev's penalty. He didn't like the Hertl. He said the lack of respect, 100%.
Yeah. So tonight, it's Buffalo-Boston. Third meeting of the year. They'll have one more back in Buffalo. And obviously, the Bruins have dropped two in a row. The Sabres are trying to make it 3 wins in 4 and start this trip in the right fashion. There is obviously a ton to discuss elsewhere. So unless you have anything else specific, and you've laid it out pretty nicely as far as what the roster is going to look like tonight. And by the way, unless I'm wrong, 6:30 pregame coverage tonight on MSG, as I read the fine print on the ticker. But yeah, it's amazing. It's taken me 3 years to figure out that that information is usually on the screen and I can just look at it instead of begging, you know, producer Jeff to inform. But yeah, nothing is obvious, Marty, to me.
Nothing is ever obvious. Hey, okay, so here's...
Oh, breaking news, though.
Breaking news. Go ahead.
I think people need to be alerted of this to adjust accordingly. That 4+ months from now, you will not be on the show. In late July.
July 28th. Yes, yeah. July 28th. I've already scheduled a day off for a golf event. So
if you're a big calendar guy, I want you to mark it right now.
Mark that. Mark that. I like how you're looking ahead. You're right. About 3.5 months from now, 4 months from now, where I'm going to be off. So that's good. Okay. Sabres are at Boston tonight. We're going to have plenty of what the game, the matchups on the pregame. So tune in at 6:30. I feel like the lead, maybe not the lead item, but one of the lead item we're going to be following for the rest of the year is the great chase. Alex Ovechkin is 8 away now from passing Wayne Gretzky. So what did I do this morning, Duffer?
You looked at the schedule to remind yourself how many games Ovechkin has before he plays Buffalo.
Absolutely. So
the answer is?
5.
Yes.
He has 3 home games, which if I'm Ovi, I want to score so much at home. So I would hope that he has at least 5 or 6 goals in the next 5 games. And he gets to play Buffalo with 2 goals from passing Gretzky or a hat trick from passing Gretzky, right? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be a stretch? 100%. But
not
this,
that much.
It's not that much. He could have a hat trick tomorrow night against Detroit. And he could score 2 or 3 against Philly on Thursday. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, he may not get to Buffalo. He may pass Gretzky before, but March 30th, the Sabres are in Washington, a 3 p.m. afternoon game. So is there a chance that Ovi and Wayne are both in the building ready to pass the torch? Mm-hmm. I think there's a chance. I'm going to be looking at it for sure.
I would agree. And I mean, not that the Capitals have any issues in sharing the puck this year, but and it's post-trade deadline, so they can't. But acquiring Thomas Hertl and his giving nature might have been really helpful for Ovechkin at this point in time. But
you are 100%. Although everybody on the ice always looks for Ovechkin with the empty net, so that the other day Ovechkin returned a favor to Alexei Protas for his hat trick. So
yeah, that's good plus minus leader in the NHL, Alexei Protas. So beyond what is going to be his first 30 goal season, like he is, and again, you take that statistic nowadays for what it's worth. But you,
where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't have a number like that unless you're being very, very, very responsible, which is what the Capitals have been, which is what has allowed them to be top 3 in goals against. All the things that we talk about that need to be talked about beyond Ovechkin's great chase. Like, what makes Washington so good that has allowed Ovechkin to have this success this year? It's really remarkable. I don't think the Capitals still get nearly enough credit for what they've done.
I think the fact that the Washington Capitals are relevant in winning is making this so much better. I 100%. Don't think Ovi would have gotten to 20 goals this year if the Washington Capitals were not good. Because it's hard. It's heavy. You're losing. And then you don't get the empty netters, or you don't get the excitement of scoring late in the game when the game is tied. Or there's so much that is working with Ovi right now that makes all of this so much fun. But I did say tomorrow night, the Detroit Red Wings are in Washington. So I'm asking you, who will be in net for Detroit tomorrow night, knowing that Peter Mrazek has played all three of the last three Detroit Red Wings game? Like, what is going on in Detroit right now?
Pretty obvious. That's why they acquired him, a former Red Wing, and they won, and he's won two out of three after the club had lost six in a row. So I don't think there's a question here, unless there's a catch to this that I'm not.
Well, the catch is that Cam Talbot was doing well. The Detroit Red Wings were in a playoff spot or close to. Yeah. Alex Lyon as a backup is doing well. Like, I thought maybe they're bringing Mrazek more as a insurance policy and doing Mrazek a favor because he was not going to play much in Chicago. It was going to be Spencer Knight and Soderblom. So I'm looking at Mrazek going to Detroit as a, in case something happens.
Yeah.
And then he plays three games in a row and he looks like he's their number one goalie.
Yeah. Again, I just think six losses in a row dictates all of this. And, and he got in.
Very
and,
true.
And, yeah. But anyway, I mean, the Wings, you know, you look at the Eastern Conference standings and how it has changed over the past week. Even with Detroit getting two wins in the last three, they're still very much hampered by that six-game slide. And now Columbus has joined them in losing five out of six and being shut out three times in the last five games and falling out of the top two wild card positions. But the Rangers stubbed their toe yesterday against the Oilers. So, yes, they are in wild card two right now, but they only have 14 games remaining. And essentially the hottest team, save for Ottawa, which is now setting their sights well above wild card one, Montreal is the hottest. They're 7-1-2. The only regulation loss in the 7-1-2 stretch, a 1-0 decision in Calgary. Yep. Like, it's crazy how this team is picking up points, and now they've got two games in hand on the Rangers, and they're only 1 point behind.
Biggest game of the year for the Montreal Canadiens, probably tomorrow night. They host the Ottawa Senators. So you think about it, Ottawa is 4 points back of the Toronto Maple Leafs for third in the Atlantic. They beat the Leafs over the weekend, and it was a big game. And I'm looking at Ottawa. Well, I get that wild card would be great if you're the Ottawa Senators. But can you imagine if the Sens were to catch the Maple Leafs? Like, how the province of Ontario would fall on their head tomorrow morning if that, well, the morning after it happens. But look, Linus Ullmark has played well. He's not had to be in the savior. Like, I look at his numbers and it's okay. Like, his save percentage over the last four or five games is not, he made a big save diving last week. You know, that was great. He's been good. But I think this team has Jake Sanderson playing extremely well. Batherson's playing extremely well. They've got a lot of guys that are stepping up right now. David Perron's return has helped them a lot. Mm-hmm. So that definitely changes things.
Yeah, I think their depth guys like Amadio, Perron have started to really show why they were brought in. I will say this, though, and regardless of whether it's Ullmark directly, I do believe there's an Ullmark influence here.
No.
The Senators defeated Toronto in all three meetings this year, and they allowed only three goals against. And there is only one team that Linus Ullmark despises in the NHL, and it is the Toronto Maple Leafs. So when he was willing to move to Ottawa from Boston, you know that this was a big thing for him. It's unfortunate they only played three games in the regular season and not the four that it could have been. But you get the idea here of just, this is important for Ottawa to have a big pushback against a team like Toronto. But now they've won six in a row. They're 7-0-1 in the last eight. And for the, at least this week, they've alleviated any concerns of falling out of a wild card position.
There was also rumors when Boston Bruins were shopping Linus Ullmark that, oh, maybe Toronto should acquire Linus Ullmark. And I remember you joking, maybe on the show or off the air, there's no way Linus is going to Toronto. Absolutely zero chance. He hates the Leafs. Yeah. Well, if you're going to hate the Leaf and you want to make a difference, you're going to play for the Sabres because there's that rivalry, right? 2 hours down the road. Ottawa, the Battle of Ontario, Montreal, because the Leafs, Canadian rivalry, you know, I mean, those are the teams they're going to go to. And Ottawa's was a great landing spot for him.
Yeah, it really was. Even though he's, you know, obviously battled a little bit to stay in the lineup. He's in good form right now. We have a lot
to
get to.
The New York Islanders have decided not to, like, quit either, by the way. Down 2-0 to Florida yesterday. They come back with 3 goals in a matter of 3.5-4 minutes, and they win. And now you look at the New York Islanders, and you're like, you're only 4 points back.
I know.
With 2 games in hand on the Rangers.
Or the Bruins, for all their, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I won't even say it, but yeah. And yeah, so not that this was an announcer jinx or a broadcast jinx, but I looked up at Florida and the Islanders as Florida was leading 2-0. And it was a close-up of Vitek Vanacek. And it said, he's 41 for 41 as a Florida Panther, has not allowed a goal, because of course he shut out Buffalo in his first game. And then all of a sudden I was not paying attention, and then it was 2-1 and 2-2 and 3-2 and then an empty. I was like, well, this is unfortunate for VTech, but
You see the shots on goal were the Boston, Tampa
40-12 in the game, 21-0 for the Lightning in the second period.
Well, I was surprised yesterday that the New York Islanders outshot the Florida Panthers 12-1 in the first period, because the Islanders are not a team that usually outshoot teams 12-1. But they played well defensively, obviously. They didn't give much to the Florida Panthers.
Panthers are losers of 3 of 4 so far on this 6-game road trip. So, again, what does that mean? Well, it means Toronto missed an opportunity to get closer, and it means that Tampa still feels like they're very much alive and chasing down that top spot as well. So we have a ton to get to. By the way, it's Korpisalo in goal for the Bruins tonight. He did defeat the Sabres earlier this year in the one meeting in Boston. Buffalo took advantage of Jeremy Swayman in the return engagement in Buffalo. So, but to just continue the Eastern Conference theme here before we take our first break, Carolina remains the hottest team in the league. They've won 7 in a row. Which former Sabre has been the hottest goal scorer for the Canes since being acquired?
Taylor Hall.
No. Mark Jankowski has
He's been really good.
Goals
you're right.
in 4 games.
There's a lot of former Sabres there, because I was thinking Eric Robinson. I'm like, no, he was out early in the
Tyson
year. Tyson Jost, Taylor Hall. But you're right, Mark Jankowski, he scored both goals in the one game when they won.
And if you're going to, rightfully so, lump the Islanders as still in the mix, this is a stunning and unfortunate, again, 2 consecutive years, Philadelphia collapse at a time when they were in the mix. They were rolling, and even if they had had a 500 homestand, would still be in the conversation. On their season-long homestand, the Flyers just went 1-6 and 0-17 on the power play to effectively take them out of the running. But it is what it is. Pittsburgh, by the way, has won 4 in a row and are still trying to stay in the picture.
They've not scored over 3 goals in any of those games. 3-1-1-1-2. Then there was a shootout against the Tampa Bay Lightning, which put them to 4. But really, they didn't score more than 3 in any of those games.
It's crazy. And there's so much good going on in the West. And we've got Buffalo and Boston tonight. And we've also got the Bandits coming up this weekend, which is on Friday. And we also want to remind you of what's coming up as far as Sabres Pride Night is concerned. T-shirt and ticket pack is available as they take on the Penguins on March 27th. Mm-hmm. Tickets starting at just $30. For that package, visit sabres.com/pride to purchase yours today. We're back after this on a Monday installment of Sabres Live.